It's sometimes overlooked, so we're discussing hearing health. Our guest is Madison Howe. She's an audiologist and also assistant professor and director of clinical education at the Department of Audiology and Speech Pathology at UAMS. This is the UAMS Health Talk from the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Joey Waller. Hi there, Madison. Welcome.
Hi, Joey. Thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you aboard. We appreciate the time. So first, for those that don't know, in a nutshell, what does an audiologist like yourself actually do?
That's a great question. We do a lot of different things. So an audiologist is an expert in hearing health, but we're also experts in vestibular disorders, which are issues with balance. And we can serve patients across the entire lifespan. So I myself am a pediatric audiologist, but we see patients from birth all the way to end of life. So audiologists are in lots of different settings. You'll see them in ENT clinics, in hospitals, and in private practice. But at the heart of what we do is helping patients communicate and hear better, and also help with balance disorders.
Because it's definitely a key part, a central part, really, of communication, as you said. So why does hearing health deserve more attention than it typically gets? I alluded to the fact at the top that some people take it for granted, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think those of us that are blessed with normal hearing, we don't realize how much hearing loss could impact day-to-day life. And we're seeing more and more research these days that is supporting a connection between good hearing and mental health and memory. So we're actually seeing connections between increased risk for dementia and Alzheimer's, because if you're not able to hear things, your brain isn't actively processing speech, memory starts to become a problem. So for adults, that is really important. And then for children, obviously, they are at a critical age where they're developing speech and language and learning and developing social relationships, and hearing can have a really big impact on that.
Yeah, no question about it. So many think hearing changes are just a normal part of aging. When should people actually start paying closer attention and maybe think about getting it professionally addressed if they think they might be having an issue with hearing?
Sure. There's really never a wrong time. A hearing test is painless. Most doctor offices can at least do a screening for hearing if you're concerned. So there's never a wrong time. It's never too early to just ask your doctor about having a screening or referring to an audiologist. But really, if you notice that it's really starting to impact you and your social relationships. So a lot of people, the first thing they notice is difficulty in background noise. They're at a noisy restaurant and they can't hear the person that they're with. That's a really good first signal that maybe something's going on with your hearing. But really, it's never too early. It's a very simple procedure to have a hearing test done, even just to get a baseline to see where you're at and monitor changes. It's never too early.
So you mentioned the item there about not being able to hear someone close because of background noise. Any other signs of hearing difficulty in adults that maybe people commonly miss?
Sure. So starting to miss just little things, subtle things like the meaning of how something was said, or maybe you missed that someone was actually being sarcastic because you missed some of the tone of their voice. Those are subtle cues that your hearing might be changing. Another big one that people don't realize is tinnitus. So tinnitus is a ringing sound or a buzzing sound in the ear. It's natural. We all have it, but it becomes not normal when it's to the point that it's interfering with daily life. So if you're hearing it constantly or it's keeping you up at night, that can be a signal to us that something is changing in the inner ear. And typically we see hearing loss follow. So that ringing sound is also something that we should really be paying attention to.
You touched on this earlier when talking about how hearing issues can affect other things. What's the biggest way, if this is unaddressed, a hearing issue, that it can impact overall health for adults? What are some of the things that it can lead to?
Yeah. So some of the biggest ones that we see, social isolation is a huge one. So when you're not able to hear people, eventually you quit trying to participate socially. And that can lead to some big problems that can also lead to memory issues because you're not participating and engaging your brain. The brain is like a muscle. And if you don't use it, you lose it. And so we want to make sure that you're able to participate and have good quality of life and great social relationships. There's also a safety factor. If you're still working and you're not able to hear people that you're working with in certain environments, that could be a safety hazard. So there's lots of things other than just maybe not being able to hear your spouse, which is what most people come in complaining about. There's a lot of other ways that hearing can affect your life.
Absolutely. So switching gears just a little bit here, why now is hearing especially important during childhood for younger folks?
Yeah, well, Joey, I don't know if you are around kids very often, but they all have AirPods in their ears 24/7, it feels like. And so we're seeing a really big increase of kids with noise-induced hearing loss. So this is typically something we would see later in life or for people in the military that have been around loud sounds. But we're starting to see a lot more of this in children. And they're doing a lot of research, but I really think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're constantly having earbuds in our ears and listening to loud sounds. And so we've got to make sure that we're monitoring these kids and their listening habits so that we're not causing hearing loss from them just having AirPods in their ears all the time.
Yeah, in terms of firsthand experience, we have a soon-to-be four-year-old daughter. So far, no earbuds, so that's not an issue. It's more of a challenge trying to get her eyes away from the kiddie tablet, but that's a whole other podcast, right?
That definitely is. I'll have to follow up on that one.
Yes, for sure. So speaking of children, though, Madison, if a child passes their newborn hearing screening, that doesn't necessarily mean parents never need to address their hearing again, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, the newborn hearing screening is a wonderful program. That was something that was nationally mandated in the late 90s, and it's wonderful that we're screening all newborns. So if you're a parent listening and you don't remember or weren't told the results of your child's newborn hearing test, go and see if you can look that up because that is important to know. But there's also hearing disorders that develop later in childhood. So just because you passed at birth doesn't mean that they may not develop hearing loss down the road. So it's important that anytime parents are concerned that they talk to the pediatrician about repeating a hearing screening. It takes about a minute to 2 minutes. It's painless and very easy for us to do.
So we talked about it earlier for adults. How about for children? What are signs that a younger one may be having difficulty hearing?
Well, speech and language development is probably the biggest and probably the easiest one to spot. So kids should be saying their first word around a year old, and then they should be starting to put together sentences between 2 and 3 years old. If kids aren't meeting those speech and language milestones, hearing is one of the first things we want to check. Now, it doesn't always mean they have long-term permanent hearing loss. They could have some ear infections and cause some temporary problems, but we still want to get those things checked. Also, parents will recognize if a child is not engaging with things, like you said, your four-year-old's always on the tablet. If they're not really engaged by things that make sound like a tablet or a toy, that could be an indication that something is off with hearing.
You talked about this earlier. I want to go back to it for a moment and delve in just a little bit more. In terms of earbuds and kids, I think, as you point out, it's a pretty accepted fact that they're going to use them. Any advice for using them in terms of limiting them? Is there a certain type that's better or worse than others? How can we use them safely as kids?
One of my favorite things about this is if you're using a device like an iPhone or an Android or a tablet that you can set the maximum volume, you can actually change it in the settings and set the maximum volume that they can turn it up to. That would be kind of step one to make sure that you're controlling the volume. I would recommend no more than 80% when you're adjusting that. So that's one really easy way to set that parental control. But also talk to kids about it. You know, it's more than just listening to loud sounds. It's also that they're not engaging in their environment and socialization when they have those AirPods in. And they're losing critical time to develop language and socialize with their peers. So talking to your kids about why it's important. There's some great resources online. Dangerous Decibels has a great website on teaching kids about appropriate listening levels. And so talking to them can really help too.
Okay. And so speaking of understanding why this is all important, what can people do to protect their hearing? We hear so much nowadays in healthcare about prevention, trying to head things off at the pass, so to speak. What can we do when it comes to hearing along those lines?
Absolutely. And thankfully, it's pretty simple to prevent hearing loss. Stay away from loud sounds as much as you can. When you are near loud sounds, wear hearing protection. So a big one that people don't want to wear hearing protection to is concerts, because we all want to hear the band that we paid a lot of money to go see. But they actually make specialty earplugs that are music filtering. So you can still enjoy the music, still hear all the quality. It just turns it down a little bit. And you can find some of those online at Walmart, at Amazon. Those are a great option. And rule of thumb, if you are exposed to loud sounds, try to limit the amount of time as much as possible. So if you are going to a concert, maybe don't go to two back to back. Just go to one and then let your ears have a break after that.
Great advice there for sure. A couple of other questions for you. How about the latest treatment for hearing issues? If you do have one, how is it addressed by a professional like yourself?
It's the most exciting time to be in audiology because we have so many cool new things coming out in the field. So we do still have hearing aids, but they're not the ones that you would have pictured, you know, your grandma or grandpa wearing that looked like a big old ball of bubble gum in their ear. We have devices now that you can barely even see. They are connected to Bluetooth. Honestly, I think sometimes I'm jealous because they can listen to music and answer phone calls and all these cool things through hearing aids now. If your hearing is bad enough, cochlear implants are an option. That's a device that actually replaces some of the damaged structures in the inner ear. And that's a really cool new development that's come out in the last few years. But Joey, I think we're going to see some cool things coming soon. They're doing trials right now of trying to regrow the sensory structures in the inner ear in some animal trials. And eventually, I really do think we might get to the point where we can do that in humans. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on for the future. I think audiology is going to become better known in the next 10 years because we've got a lot of cool things coming up.
So that will likely mean that instead of what we mentioned earlier, people not talking about it enough, hopefully people will be talking about this a whole lot more, right?
I hope so. I'm going to keep spreading the word, and it's really cool to see what science is coming up with in our field.
Absolutely. And then finally, in summary here, how often should someone see an audiologist, presuming they have no risk factor, no issue, if you're just the average person?
Sure. You know, again, there's never really a wrong time, but if you're just thinking that you might have a hearing problem, talk to your primary care provider about doing a basic hearing screening. They can typically do that in their office. And then if there's a concern there, they can refer to an audiologist. If you do have known hearing loss, we recommend going annually to your audiologist because unfortunately, as we age, our hearing changes. And so we want to keep a close eye on things. So once a year, if you have established hearing loss, is recommended.
Well, folks, we trust you're now more familiar with good hearing health, Madison. We look forward to those exciting developments in the future in the world of audiology. We can hear the passion in your voice. So keep up all your great work, and thanks so much again.
Thanks so much for having me, Joey. And everybody, go get your ears checked. Keep your ears protected. Wear earplugs when you're around loud sounds.
And a reminder, the Speech and Hearing Clinic is located at 4021 West 8th Street in Little Rock. For general information and for appointments, please call 501-320-7300. For more information, please visit UAMSHealth.com. If you found this podcast helpful, please do share it on your social media. I'm Joey Waller. Thanks again for being part of UAMS Health Talk from University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences.